Mitzvah Reish Tzadi Ches Shelo Lasos Melacha B'Yom Rishon Shel Pesach. Not to perform labor on the first day of what we call Pesach, which is called in the Torah Chag HaMatzos. Shelo Nase Melacha B'Yom Rishon Shel Chag HaPesach Shehu Yom Tesva V'Nisan, on the 15th of Nisan. Shenemar B'Yom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh Yelachem Kom Lechaz Avodah Lo Sasu. On the first day of the festival that the Torah discusses at this point, so you're not supposed to do labor. Chvar, he's here al zeakosu b'seder bo al paro b'tzivoi chag ha-pesach. This is the already mentioned the Torah once when Parashas Bo, when God is first telling the Jewish people about the existence of Pesach and the original Pesach Mitzrayim. So God also mentions that it's a rule, permanent rule, that you're not allowed to do malacha, you're not allowed to do labor on the first day of Pesach. Shneamar sham kol malacha lo ye'aseh v'hem, no labor shall be done thereon. This is the pasuk that the Rambam used, the earlier one in Parshas Bo, which is the one he cites as forbidding labor on the 15th of Nisan. Aval ani kosafti ze ha'acher kedei shiyu ha'moado sedurim b'seder echad v'akol ole le'inyan echad. But I instead chose this pasuk because I wanted to discuss the rules of all the holidays together in Parshas Amor, where they all appear together. In Parshas Bo, it only talks about Pesach, therefore I chose to do it here, but it doesn't really matter. Lemaisa, it's all one mitzvah. I'm just doing it in this order for convenience sake, or for ease of learning, concept of progression from subject to subject. Ve'omer akosu kan meleches avoda, the pasuk says over here, it says malacha of avoda, which are in a certain sense two synonyms for work, labor, labor of work, or work of labor. So that's superfluous, it's repetitive. The lo amar kol malacha, why didn't it say any type of labor? Levishet sorche ochal nefesh hutru lasos b'yantif. We know that on yantif, we have the permission to do things that are for the necessity of food. Ochal nefesh means food of a soul. So anything that a person can eat on yantif is allowed to be prepared with certain restrictions that we'll discuss. Kimo sheba b'kosu b'mokom acher, it says in the parsha's bow, which is, again, the part we cited earlier that the Rambam used for this prohibition. That anything that can be eaten unto any soul shall be done for you, labor-wise. That's why the Torah over here says, work of labor. In other words, all labor would include anything that's prohibited on Shabbos. But since it says work of labor, it means only laboring work is prohibited. Kinyan shenemar v'chol avoda basodeh. Avoda, it says, avoda is by, like, working in the fields. V'chen kayin haya oved adoma. That kayin was a farmer. He worked the land. It implies strenuous, real work, as opposed to things that are prohibited technically on Shabbos. Okay, you have things that are not so strenuous that are prohibited on Yantiv as well, like scoring lines in something. So scoring lines is not so hard. You take a ruler and it's not difficult. Okay, but nevertheless, that's considered more of a real labor.
About turning on light.
Oh, lights. We'll get there. We'll get there in a minute. Yeah.
Isn't it rather than strenuous? Maybe it's with the question of that the malacha, which is a which is something that you generally consider work, cooking, you sort of don't, cooking whatever it was, is something which you consider to be something you need to do in a whatever
basis. That's exactly what the chinuch is about, okay. To say. Okay. Excellent.
You do,
yeah.
It all day long.
So it's not the question of how much effort he puts in. It is, after all, kneading dough or something can be very strenuous.
Exactly, yeah. Melech lasod neva oved admoso, all these things. Olam locha shila ochal nefesh kimo abishol, like cooking, v'chayotze bo meleches hana'ahi. It's work that's for enjoyable purposes, as opposed to, again, you might enjoy weaving.
Gardening.
You're right. You might enjoy gardening. You might enjoy knitting. Yep. So, but nevertheless, it's specifically food-related hana'a with some other things thrown in, which we'll discuss, which is on Yantif. Which is,
and why on Yantif aren't you allowed to cook on one day for the next?
We'll explain more later, but the basic idea is that you're only allowed to cook on Yantif things that are necessary for that day.
Why?
Well, because otherwise it would be too much. So, for example, let's say, so on Yantif, you're already needing you're already making one dish, so let's make extra and freeze, and then you're going to end up spending the whole day of Yontif cooking for. So it's
yeah. Well, you know, ochel nefesh means that you know. What's needed for you to eat on Yontif that day.
But I'll say that. That's the machlokes. That's exactly the machlokes.
Okay. So, in other words, so if you're going ahead, let's say, for example, the first day of Sukkot, you're making food, something that you're going to, you know, oh, I'm going to eat this in Shmini Atzeres or something like that, you know, the rest leftover or something like that. And then what you're doing is you are cooking, you know, you're not cooking for the day of,
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you have to figure out exactly what
quantity. Exactly.
That's true. We'll discuss that. That there's also a halacha that called. First of all, you don't need the cheshbon. Mm-hmm. If you think, oh, if you honestly think, oh, I might need this, even if it's a little more than you, you probably will need.
Two extra guests will show up.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe my husband will bring home three extra guests.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. If there's an honest chance that you'll need the food for Yontif, then you're allowed to do it on Yontif. There is also something called marbe b'shiurim. Mm-hmm. Which is that if you're doing the exact same thing in the exact same pot, for example, then you're allowed to make any quantity that you want. So, for example, even if you know for sure that you only need 1 quart of chicken soup on Yontif, nevertheless, you're allowed to make a huge pot of chicken soup on Yontif because it's literally in one action, in one container. But you're not allowed to make 5 pots. As long as it's in one thing, one the same thing that of cooking, then you're allowed to do it in Yontif, even if it's explicitly for a different day.
Also that if the act of cooking is difficult for a small quantity. In other words,
for sure.
Like a cholent pot, let's say, where you know it would burn if you just put in like you know just enough.
Oh, that's certainly true, but okay. I'm saying even more than that. That's okay. So that's Meleches Hanahi.
So you could just get use your biggest baking pan and put in 5 chickens. And roast it.
Yeah.
Really? Oh.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a pot of soup is one thing, but that seems like...
But maybe your husband
there's also a
15 extra shots.
Well, no, that's, we're talking different things over here. We're talking, one is even if for sure you won't need it, but you're allowed to even, if there's a chance that you need it, an honest chance, then you are allowed to make 5 different pots. Mm-hmm. That's different.
Uh-huh.
We're talking, even if it's explicitly you for sure are cooking for after Yontif.
It's sort of a technical thing. If it literally happens to fit
correct
in one container.
At correct the same time, though, would it not be the case that if you have the machshava amitis, that you're doing it for the purpose of having additional quantities over that which you know that is actually necessary, would that not be a delimiting factor?
What do you mean?
Let's say that you know that you need only 2 chickens, and that pot can accommodate 5.
Mm-hmm.
But you know for sure that you will not need all 5 of them.
It's still okay. It's still okay, because it's literally in the same, in exactly the same vessel, utensil, ma'amad of cooking.
I understood you very well. I'm just thinking that if the truth is that you know that it will definitely not be needed, therefore why allow the additional 3 chickens to be done, although it's within the requirements that it be within one pot? Mm. You're cooking extra that you know that you will not need.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Right.
I'll put it differently. Yeah. It would be better not to. How about that?
No, there's no...
No, there's
it's mutter.
Period. It's just a technical thing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it's one, it's considered one act of cooking. It's not considered extra cooking. It's like, for example, let's take a different example, which you might relate to. Let's say carrying on Shabbos. So if you carry your wallet in one hand and you carry a bottle of wine in another hand and you walk outside on Shabbos, so that's 2 acts of chutzah. But if you take a bag...
Without an
eruv. Obviously, yeah. So if you...
With an
eruv.
Without.
Right. So, but if you put the wallet and the bottle of wine in a bag together and you take it outside, then that's 1 act of chutzah.
But the wallet's already muktzah, right?
Yeah. Okay, forget muktzah. Besides muktzah. Besides muktzah, I just meant... Right, so it's a similar idea.
The wine in one hand and the flowers in the other, whatever.
Right,
flowers,
so that...
Why basically you cook on Yontif?
We'll get there. Okay. So marba bishurim, so it's also, there's a part of it that is that, so for example, even though it's not technically marba bishurim, I guess also, so there is a, like we were saying before about the cholent pot burning, so the classical example that's given is that if you want to make one loaf of bread, this is not the case in contemporary ovens probably, but in the olden days, if you wanted to make one loaf of bread, so it didn't... Right, if you wanted to make one loaf of bread, it didn't cook well. So it cooked much better if you filled up the oven with bread. So the same thing too, if you want to make one loaf of bread, but your oven cooks better if you make 10 loaves of bread, then you're allowed to put in 10 loaves of bread, even though you only need one for Yontif. So that's not exactly Marba Bishurim, but that's more like the case that we mentioned. Right, okay.
Probably because the temperature of control was not so good, so you're used to, you know that you heat it up, it'll burn or something like that, there's not enough food in there to sort of cool it down, right?
Okay, the law of melechas avoda, these are melechos of enjoyment and not of labor. Kain perish haramban, zichron avrocha, is what the Ramban said in his commentary on the Chumash. V'chos avod shezeh perish mizbar batorah. This says explicitly in the Torah. Ki b'cha gamatzo sh'amar t'chila ko melocha lo ye'osev v'hem. It says in the, when it talks about Pesach, it says originally ko melocha lo ye'osev v'hem. It sounds like it should be mamish like Shabbos. It's Dafka and Parashas Bo, where first it sounds like everything is asr like on Shabbos, that says explicitly, anything that is required for eating, you're allowed to do. So it knocks down, you'd think it would be like Shabbos, but knocks it down explicitly to Yontif level. But in the rest of the Yamim Tovim, it doesn't say explicitly that ochal nefesh is mutter. It just uses the phrase komaleches avoda, the double language. You shouldn't do lesser komalechos shineno ochal nefesh. It tells you that this forbids anything that's not ochal nefesh. Well, odia shochal nefesh mutter behind that ochal nefesh is mutter on yontif. And any holiday, you might think it's just on Pesach. It doesn't say the words ochal nefesh in the Torah anywhere except regarding Pesach. So we have to learn out that it applies to the other yamim tovim as well. But the Torah never elsewhere says kol melacha, all labor. And so using this double language is sufficient that it's only meleches avoda that's asur on yantif and not meleches ochal nefesh. Yeah.
How are we certain that Rosh Hashanah is a yantif the same way as the social golem? Because it seems to be a different category in the Chumash. It's a
Well, what does it say? What's the language of the Pasuk?
Okay.
So this is an instance, a perfect example of why it is that every time that we say Rabbi Shmuel Omer, here's the example of how it's actually applied.
But Parshas Kol HaBechor B'chag HaMatzos, when it repeats it again in Parshas Re'ei, Amar V'yom HaShvi Atzeres L'Hashem Elokecha Lo Sa'aseh Melacha. And the seventh day of Pesach is a holiday, and you shall not do labor. So it sounds like Shabbos. It sounds like the Elokecha Shabbos be like Shabbos. V'atam Yivnei Sheklar Hiter Bo B'chag Zeh B'Perush Ochal Nefesh. It says, it's very good. Because in Parshas Bo, it also didn't specify Meleches Avoda, it just said Kol Melacha. So it tells you, when it uses the Lashon of Kol Melacha again by a Yontif, which makes you think that it might be like Shabbos, it only uses that language by Pesach, where it already told you explicitly in Parshas Bo that Ochal Nefesh was allowed. So here, you're not going to get confused. Since it never said explicitly Ochal Nefesh was allowed by the other Yamim Tovim, it just says Meleches Avoda. So if it had, in Sefer Dvarim, it had repeated it and it had said Kol Melacha, then you might get confused and you might think that you really should treat the other Yamim Tovim like Shabbos. But no, it only uses this language by Pesach because you won't get confused because it said explicitly in Parshas Bo that Ochal Nefesh is Mutter. And again, we learn out in the other ways for the other Yamim Tovim. Beseder Bo'al Parav Acharichin Beseder Zeh Hizkir Melechas Avod. That again, it says over here in Parshas Emor, that Meleches Avoda, again emphasizing the idea that Ochal Nefesh is okay. The Mashma Bogam can heter Ochal Nefesh. L'fikach k'shechazor v'izkiro pa'amacheres v'ashes kol b'chor l'hutzrach lomar bo od bir. So it doesn't need to explain itself anymore and use these languages that permit Ochal Nefesh, because you should already know the din from Parshas Bo and Parshas Emor. Yeah?
This is not directly applicable, but why are you allowed to squeeze lemons on Shabbos in a certain way yes and in a certain way not? In other words, if you squeeze it on
sugar,
What?
Sugar.
Sugar, you're allowed, but if you squeeze it in tea, you're not allowed. Or something like that.
So there's a halacha called mashke habala ochel is considered to be like food. So if you have, it's a solid in the lemon state, and it goes directly from solid to solid without being caught in a container and having a recognizable liquid form, so it's never considered to have passed into a liquid form. It goes straight from solid to solid. It goes straight from the lemon to the sugar or whatever, it's going to be absorbed in a food, so therefore when you squeeze it, it turns
to litter. As long as you squeeze it into something solid, it's permissible.
Right.
But not if you squeeze it.
It's really liquid.
But you're allowed to just put it into the tea.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, remember?
No. Let's say you took the lemon, okay?
Is liquid. It's just contained in the
lemon. I understand that. Well, the lemon, let's say, and you pushed it down on a pile of sugar, okay? Yeah. You wouldn't even see the liquid. You know, so in other words, the transfer, whatever it was, the fact that you only know intellectually that there must be the liquid, it was some liquid form, but you didn't actually appear even in the fact, you know, so that the, okay. You know, see? So the fact that you see it actually, you know, falling in from one to the other,
it's
not really shipping.
Oh, I like this. I like the explanation.
So that it drips into the sugar would not be permitted.
No, that is okay. Mm-hmm. It is okay. As long as it goes straight. No, that doesn't. That's what Charlie is saying is that it's as if, just like, you know, when you put it in the sugar and you squeeze it, yes, you know, in a minuscule level, it will be liquid before it gets absorbed by the sugar. It's the same thing as long as you're just putting a little bit more of a distance in between. Uh-huh. But you're not allowed to squeeze it into a cup, then... Okay, later. Okay. Fine. Where are we? V'hizkir malacha stam v'somach al hayadua. That's why in Parshas Re'eh, it just mentioned that you're not allowed to do malacha on Pesach, and it didn't go into details, because you should already know already from the previous classes in the Torah. U'mikol makom lo amar kol malacha k'mo b'shabes v'yom ha-kippurim, aval amar malacha. It doesn't say kol malacha, it says lo sasem malacha, don't do labor. In other words, it doesn't say don't do all labor, like it says by Shabbos and Yom Kippur, which means that is emphasizing the idea that it's not all labor that is prohibited on Yontif, only things that are not ochel nefesh. Mishor she ha-mitzvah, what's the reasoning behind this? Kedei she yizkeri Yisrael nisim ha-gedolim shaso Hashem lahem v'lavoseihem. That the Jewish people should remember the miracles that God did for them and their forefathers. Vidab rabam viodiyam livneim velivnei vneim. You should tell your children and you should tell your grandchildren about all the miracles on each holiday. Ki mitoch hashvisa meiske olam yupnuyim lasok bezeh. That it's specifically by refraining from labor and that you are available to spend family time. That's like, you know, in the famous interview with Ivanka Trump, that she said, you know, what do you like about Shabbos? So she says, you know, it's amazing in the 21st century that we have a day where we don't use phones and we just spend family time all together, and it's an amazing thing. So the same thing, that when you have all these distractions around you, that you're not gonna focus on the important things in life. Which is again family, God are the main things. Shilu hayu mutar mimlacha vafilu bimlacha kala haya kol echad veechad ponel isko. That if it was permitted to do malacha on yantiv, v'chvod haregel yishkach your yishachach mipi haolim gam mipi hagedolim. That the next generation, the children are going to forget what yantiv is like, and this is the day we go to work. You know, we have this on Pesach, we have the Seder at night. And then in the morning we daven at Hashgamim and we go to work. So they're not going to have time to reflect on the things. They're not going to take it seriously unless it's a whole day that's set aside for no working and just focusing on our relationship with God. Yeah,
it's also a practical factor that, you know, after all, you always have Shabbos and Yom Tov together. And without, you know, if you can't do certain kinds of food preparation, the food would spoil. You can't necessarily prepare for that much in advance for like the whole, you know.
That's true. That's why the calendar is currently rigged so that the Yom Kippur cannot fall on Friday or Sunday. That's one of the reasons.
Oh.
So you shouldn't have 2 days in a row where no food preparation is allowed.
Mm.
Which in the times when they were Mekadel Shapia Ria, they looked at the moon to determine the time of the when Rosh Chodesh should be. So it was possible for Yom Kippur to fall on any day. So, yeah. It's hard to go. Nowadays, it's no big deal. You have refrigeration. Okay, so you eat cold food. Mm-hmm. That's on the Shabbos right before or after. But it's very difficult. Okay. There are other good things about refraining from labor. It's a good time to learn Torah. That's why we have shiurim on Yantif in our shul, usually between Mincha and Ma'ariv, where you have the time for it. But if on a weekday, so people are, you know, Mincha Ma'ariv, no, we have to daven quickly and get back. You know, we have to go to work or we have to go home. And you know, here there are times where there's plenty of family time, so you can take off some time in during the day in order to learn. That's why we have the halacha that on Yontif you're really supposed to spend half the day learning and half the day eating and drinking. The famous machlok is in the Gemara between Reb Eliezer and Reb Yoshua as to whether you have a choice to spend Yontif entirely in eating and drinking or entirely in learning. So we paskin like Reb Yoshua, which is that it's not a choice of either or. It's just interesting, you know. I was just comment on, you know, literally you can choose between learning all day and eating and drinking all day, and you get the exact same reward in heaven for doing so. Very
learning is considered being sameach.
That's you have to eat at night. You have to make kiddush and have the suda at night. But during the day, you spend the whole day. Again, maybe you have a little snack or something, or a little very small meal. But you spend the whole day learning. But we paskin that you're supposed to spend half the day in eating and drinking, half the day in learning. Yeah.
Dare I ask, does this definite learning apply to women?
Probably not.
And when do the guys get to spend any family time?
This is the way that the Rambam describes the ideal Seder Hayom for Yontif. He says a similar thing by Shabbos too, which is you do as follows. You wake up in the morning very early. You daven vasikin quickly. They didn't have, you know, the Rambam was against Putin, so he wouldn't have gone for the Breuer's davening where they finish on Yontif at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, they don't literally finish that late on every Yontif, but you have a ton of Putin, which takes up the entire morning. So the Rambam was against Putin anyway, but he wouldn't have gone for it for other reasons. So you daven quickly in the morning vasikin.
Do we know why it is that he did not hold to have Putin?
He thought it was a hefsek, an interruption within the text of the prayers. Okay, well, that's this is somewhat. The minag was always was really to have piyutim, but
it's a hit or mitzvah.
According to many shittas, yes, absolutely. Yes. But I'm just saying, I didn't say we hold like this. I just said this is what the Rambam says.
I'm just curious.
But he says so.
He says you wake up early in the morning, you daven with sunrise, or you finish early, you go home, and you have a very quick meal. And you come back and you to the Beis Medrash or the Shul and you learn until Mincha Gedola, half an hour past midday, which is the earliest time you can daven Mincha. You daven Mincha at that point, and then you eat and drink for the entire afternoon. That's the way that you have, again, for the Rambam, Pashtus holds their Shalosh Shudas on Yontif as well, which is where it comes out, according to the Rambam, you have Shalosh Shudas on Yontif, that you have the night meal, then one early in the morning, then a smaller meal early in the morning, and then a larger meal in the afternoon. It's you know, it's funny. The Rambam says you eat and drink until Motzei Shabbos, or until the end of the day. So it's like, well, in Yontif, just think about it. You have you daven Mincha Gedola early, then you eat and drink until Yontif is over, and then if that's the first day of Yontif, then after a huge meal that took up the entire afternoon, you go back home and you make kiddush, and again you have a meal.
Do you take the women and children along with you in this schedule?
During the meals, yes, but they have to during the morning when the men are in the shul and learning. So we assume somebody has to take care of the kids. Yeah.
And get ready for this meal that's going to last for 6 hours.
Exactly. Okay, so it says V'cheinian Masha Amru Zichron Al-Racha. It's a good time to go again. It's a good time to learn. Moshe Tikin Lam Yisrael Shiyu Dorshin Vilchos Pa'Pesach Me'Pesach Vilchos Aseres Ba'Aseres. That Moshe Rabbeinu had a takana that you are supposed to learn the halachos of each holiday during the holiday. And I paskin this applies to women also, because they also have to learn the halachas of the holiday. So it's why the drushes and the shiurim during each holiday are supposed to relate to the halachos of that holiday. You know, at certain cases,
a little bit late. I mean, you're already.
Sometimes it's late.
Oh, you can't eat chometz? Oh no!
Exactly.
Right.
Well,
so there.
From year to year,
they always announce it on Shabbos. I mean, if you're married already and the Arab was not good, then what?
Well, that's why. Right. We announce the Arab up or down at night. We don't.
Well,
we don't announce in the morning because you already knew.
Yeah, this was a problem on Hurricane Sandy. Mm-hmm. I was at, when I was in Highland Park, actually. It was right after Hurricane Sandy, and the Shai was there the Shabbos afterwards, and the Erev was taka down that week in Highland Park. So there were a lot of strollers in Shul.
Yes.
Because people don't...
So what did you decide to do?
There is another halacha, which is not a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is that you're supposed to start learning the rules of each holiday 30 days before.
Yeah.
So that's an additional thing, but you're right to a certain extent. But a lot of the halachos do still apply. Like if you talk on Pesach, for example, about what to do if you find a piece of wheat in a chicken, so that could come up during the holiday. Also, there are halachos that are not over yet. Talk on sukkah, you have to sit in the sukkah every day. So if you can correct people's misconceptions about the halachos governing sitting in the sukkah, it's just funny that he includes over here hilchos atzeres batzeres on Shavuos. What halachos are there on Shavuos? But how you have to have a kezias of cheesecake? I mean, what exactly the rules are? I guess you talk about hilchos yantif in general. That's a lot of times what people talk about on Shavuos. But in the Beis Hamikdash there were more halachos. Okay, but it's funny that it's included over here. So the question as to whether the law, the rule of shloshim yom kodem achag, so that basically applies to Pesach because that has the most rules that the individual needs to know. And secondarily, it applies to Sukkot also. So a lot of people, it applies to Shavuos also, even though not so many halachos. Others hold it doesn't apply to Shavuos because there's just not 30 days worth of halachos. Mm-hmm. You look in the Shulchan Aruch, the rules of Shavuos, I mean, besides Hilchos Yontif, which are complex, mm-hmm. There is one siman in the Shulchan Aruch that talks about Shavuos, and it mostly talks about what davening to say. Mm-hmm. So there aren't so many rules regarding Shavuos.
Well, Shavuos, you can say because of Elul, I mean, there is a 30-day setup. Period.
Yeah.
Rishon, there are certainly rules.
If the calendar is set, as it were, so that you start 30 days before.
Yeah, you should start Rosh Chodesh Elul, yeah.
Right.
Preparing.
Everybody should be starting already. You should, and now we have a lot to do. And so we have, I've tried this year actually, I'm trying to learn Sukkah, Hilchos Sukkah a little bit, because I feel like that always gets shortchanged, because I feel like during Elul, during the Shloshim Yom Kodem, I'm busy learning about Rosh Hashanah and second. First of all, Rosh Hashanah, I guess, the first one, because the first one that comes to mind, and secondarily Yom Kippur. And then after Yom Kippur, it's all like, whoops, only 5 days to look at, and I have to, you know, orchestrate everything, and I don't have time to learn the halacha. So I tried to, this year I tried to do Sukkah first, so we'll see which other holiday aspect of it gets shortchanged. Okay. Medine HaMitzvah, the halachos of the mitzvah of Yantif are as follows. Masha Amru Zichronim Livracha, Sha'afel Pishitir HaKosuv HaMalachos Letzorech Ochal Nefesh. So what do we mean when we say malacha is allowed if it's necessary for food? Davka HaDvarim She'i'ev Shal Asosan Me'erev Yantif U'Shehitir HaKosuv Gion Lisha Shchita Afiyah Bishol. The things you're only allowed to do on Yantif, things that must be done on that day, or they will be no good. So, for example, kneading, slaughtering. Again, remember, before refrigeration, so slaughtered animal had to be cooked pretty quickly, otherwise it would go bad. Afia, baking, bishul, cooking. Shekol elu, hamalachos, nifsados, ktsas, bishiyazan. Even if it doesn't completely spoil, it's not going to be as delicious. You know, even nowadays we're not used to fresh baked. Many of us are not used to fresh baked bread. We buy from the bakery. It's you know, it has preservatives. It sits around on the shelf for a while. Then we buy it and we put it in the freezer maybe. And then when we need it, we take it out. So we're used to that. That's bread. That's how it tastes. But there's something different. We don't appreciate these things nowadays about fresh baked bread.
Oh.
That really it is much better if it's freshly baked. Yeah.
Well, you're not allowed to say catch fish though.
Oh,
before refrigeration and so forth. I mean, even now, you don't want to keep fish around too long. But you know, how can you have fish on Yontif if you can't catch?
I mean, you're allowed to pre-catch fish. Yeah, like if you have a fish tank that specifically, you can get in one fell swoop, and you're
bathtub.
Oh, wait a second. Okay, if you, Okay, then pulling off the trend here. In other words, if you have, say, you have a fish tank, then how big a tank can it be before it counts as catching it again?
You have to be able to get it in one fell swoop. Is the basic idea. But the so even shechita, I'm fond of telling the story that my chavrusa and yeshiva in Israel worked during the year to get his license to be a shochet. So when he finally got his license, it's called the Kabbalah, he made a party, and the party consisted of schnitzel that was made from. It was the party was in the evening, and it consisted. And he had shechted the chickens for the schnitzel in the morning. And the schnitzel was much tastier than ordinary schnitzel because fresher is truly better. Mm. So again, even if the chicken is not going to spoil completely, maybe you have some sort of cold storage for it that, you know, even in the days before refrigeration, you'd be able to keep it. Nevertheless, it's not quite as good the meat that was not shechted today, so therefore you're allowed to do that on Yantiv. But nowadays, we never heard of shechting on Yantiv because we mamash don't appreciate the distinction. Meat is always... You know, from the freezer, we never have meat that was shechted the same day. That's a good question.
Is it still mutter? No.
Depends who you ask. We have a rabbi in the neighborhood who is known to be very machmir on Hilchos Yantif. That's his thing. Hilchos Yantif, super machmir. So. It's funny, he's more machmir on carrying on Yantif than he is on carrying on Shabbos, which is kind of funny.
Carrying on Yantif.
Huh?
No, but everyone says, don't they, that if it's within an Eruv, you can carry anything. But on Yantif, you can only carry what you're using for Yantif, I thought.
Well, if you use... That's where it comes into play, where it makes a difference if you use the Eruv vis-a-vis carrying on Yantif also.
Right.
If you use the Eruv when... Because on Yantif, you're only allowed... Again, the chinuch we'll discuss a little bit more later, but the idea is that you're only allowed to carry things on Yantif that are really needed.
For Yantif, right.
Like there are shittas.
Like your talents.
I'm not saying I hold like this. I'm not saying you should do this. I'm not saying any of that.
I'm just describing someone's view.
Whereas I believe, again, I haven't spoken to him at length. Again, that's why I'm certainly not quoting this lalacha. And anyway, I'm not mocking on this. I'm just saying that he would tell you that. Basically nowadays that everything is more accessible, that whatever you can carry before Yantiv, you should, basically. If it's not really, really needed on to carry it right now, then you're not allowed to carry it on Yantiv unless it's food. So the rule is on Yantiv, there are Rishonim who hold that there are no restrictions on carrying whatsoever on Yantiv. You can carry whatever you want. We paskin that you're only allowed to carry things on Yantiv if it's really... needed for Yantiv, and you have different standards. Is this absolutely necessary to carry right now if it's not food? If it's food, then you're allowed to carry it.
I could borrow somebody else's raggedy old Thomas and shul.
No, right. You could prepare ahead of time. I'm not saying but
yet
I understand
another
that.
Thursday
it's another
afternoon.
Level.
Yeah.
No, but you should think about it before.
Right.
I get that
part. Right. So according to that Mahalach, you're not allowed to bake on Yantif because most people can't tell the difference between a freshly baked cake and a cake that's been in the freezer. We have cakes in the freezer all the time. And you have to analyze, you know, if you're cooking a dish, you know, would this be just as good if it were in the... Again, in the olden days where people could really tell the difference and they appreciated a freshly baked dish, so then you would have been allowed to make it on Yantif. But he says, no, now with these are good refrigerators and freezers, and you can prepare everything very easily before, and it's basically exactly the same, you can't really appreciate the difference, then you're not allowed to cook and bake on Yantif. I believe that's a sheet. Don't quote me on this. Don't go to him and say, I heard you hold X, Y, and Z. You can go and say, oh, Rebbe, you know, please teach me if I'm allowed to do this on Yantif. But don't say, I heard you said this and this and this and whatever.
You can't do that because you wouldn't be prepared. I don't mean you.
Right.
If one isn't prepared to accept his answer, you shouldn't try.
Well, you could say, this is for information purposes only. I'm not asking you, Shiloh.
You could.
If you want to have the chutzpah to talk about
it. Beseder. I'm just saying, my point of this whole exercise is that there are different standards about what's acceptable nowadays on Yantif, unlike the olden days. So I'm saying that, according to this, then it would really be usher to shecht on Yantif nowadays, because we really don't appreciate, we never have, the whole year, we don't have meat that was shechted the same day. You know, it's basically unheard of. So, but according to other sheets, no. It'll taste slightly better. If you had it, you'd appreciate it. So with the classical halacha, we don't change the classical halacha.
Interesting, I've observed some people who eat it at Moriah, the senior center, they will say, a lot of people...
When you were passing by and you looked
in? No, on Friday. No, well, I eat there sometimes. The senior center, Moriah.
How do you qualify?
Come on, I'm over. Flattery will get you every day. Yeah, I think you have to be over 60 or something. So anyway, so there's a lot of, on Friday afternoon, a Friday lunch, they usually have a nice piece of chicken. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of people will pack it up, especially, you know, single widows, well, whatever. People who live by themselves will take, and they're not cooking for a bunch of people, they'll pack it up and take it home and have it for Friday night dinner, fine. But some, I've heard at least one, if not two or three people say, oh, it's much better when it's fresh. And like, I'm eating it right now and enjoying it instead of taking it home and eating, warming it up this evening or warming it up Sunday night.
Right, so to eat a dish that everybody agrees is, you know, better if it's made today. Like, what's a dish that's mamish you can't keep around for too long or doesn't taste the same? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. If you want to make a souffle, so then you're allowed to do that on Yantif. So that's the case. Again, it would depend what people appreciate. Most people, again, a lot of people nowadays... Just I barely cook on Yantif. We barely, you know, personally, we barely cook on Yantif because it's much easier just to make, you know, forget the halacha. It's much easier to prepare everything in advance, you know, except salads and stuff. But right. That's not a malach anyway, because on Shabbos. Right, you don't want to be busy cooking, so it's within the spirit. Exactly.
It is work.
Again, but it's not for halachic reasons at all. This is Stam just for convenience. It's usually, and then you have issues nowadays that, you know, you have, in terms of the appliances, if you have electric appliances or gas appliances, so we have to leave them on the whole time. Or if you have a hot plate, put on a timer, and it's hard to, you know, warm, you don't cook things on a hot plate, but if you have a little electric burner or something, you put on a timer, it makes things very difficult to turn it on and off. Unless you want to keep, you know, a fire with the same level on the whole time, it's very, very difficult with current appliances to cook on Yantip, which is another reason people like to prepare things before. Some people do. You know, leave the oven on 350 for 3 days. When there's a 3-day Yantif. And then you can ask a guy to shut
that's
it off.
Expensive.
It's expensive, and you, and it's
could be hazardous.
Right. That so it's too. It's just difficult for practical reasons. Yeah.
Right. Basically, you can't use an oven to keep something warm on Shabbos, but you can use it. Right. I mean, what isn't there? Are there problems on Shabbos that don't exist on Yantif? Like, I know. Am I wrong about that?
Problems on Yantif that don't exist on
Shabbos? No, the other oven. Yeah. Problems on Shabbos with an oven.
Yeah, you're not allowed to keep food in a hot oven on Shabbos.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's Shehiyah. You could leave it in at the beginning of Shabbos, and you just have to take it in, but you can't put things back in an oven.
How about at the warm oven?
Yeah.
Right.
How about a 200-degree oven?
Even so, doesn't matter, yeah. You're not allowed to, but you could leave it in there and then just take it out. Again, I don't know if you open the oven door, maybe it causes things to change, like with the thermostat.
Okay, right.
Unless you're Breuers, which has a weird... Yitzi Deichmann is allowed to open it up and close it.
Maybe I'm allowed to close it, not to put food inside.
Right.
But that's
to take
different.
Some out and leave more in.
That they have a cool about it. Yes, out. They have a cool about that, but you're definitely not allowed to put food inside an oven. On Yantif, you leave the oven on 350. You can put it food in and out without restriction.
You're allowed to put cooked food on the black on Shabbos.
Okay, under certain circumstances,
why aren't
yeah.
You're allowed to put it into a 200-degree oven. You can't just bake anything at 200 degrees.
You can.
You
I believe there are people in this room who make a certain roast at around 200 degrees.
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah.
Alton Brown roast. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
If it's above Yad Soledis, it's halachically considered to be cooking.
Above what?
The temperature where if you, you know, put your hand on it, you'd recoil, which is pretty low. Definitely less than 200. Maybe not much less. Depends on different shittas. But
you're allowed to do that on a
but blech. The thing with the blech is that on Shabbos, the real problem is that you want to avoid the appearance of cooking even, and you want to avoid the possibility that you might stoke the coals. Again, if you think of the old ovens that had coals, you might stoke the coals and make the oven hotter. Mm-hmm. So you have, on Shabbos, you have restrictions that even if the food is fully cooked, you're not allowed to rewarm it on Shabbos unless you put it on top of a surface that... makes it absolutely clear that you're not cooking right now, and there's no chance that you're going to stoke the coals.
Mm-hmm. So a warming tray would be okay then? Especially,
a warming tray has no temperature controls?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, no, it doesn't have any. Like, the warming
tray. I guess so. Oh, warming tray. Yeah. Not like it's part of an oven.
Warming
drawer.
Warming drawer, something like that. Right. That's something dedicated to just keeping things warm.
Yeah, so I think that would be okay. I have to look into the Metzias a little bit more before. That's not, don't consider that a practical thing, but yeah. The accepted psak in America is that we accept warming trays that you're allowed to even put food straight on there on Shabbos. In Eretz Yisrael, a lot of people are more machmer on that because they feel that there was a sort of across the board gzeira by Chazal that you shouldn't put food on anything, any heating surface, even if there's no chance that you're going to stoke the coals, and that you can't cook on it because it has no temperature settings. But our accepted psak in America, based on our Moshe Feinstein, is under those circumstances, because of those features of the warming tray, like a hot plate, a plata, we call it, if it has no temperature controls, and then you would be allowed to put cold food from the refrigerator straight on that on Shabbos. Okay. Fine. You're allowed to grind spices on Yontif, because if previously, somebody was just telling me yesterday that in order to make a certain recipe, you need freshly ground spices, because the pre-ground spices are just don't do the trick. So that's true, that mishum de mefigi tamayu b'shehiya achar shehei nidochin, that since they lose their flavor after they've been ground, so therefore you're allowed to do anyantiv. They tell you that if you buy pre-ground spices in a store, you're supposed to throw it out after a certain amount of time because it just doesn't maintain its potency. But if you go to most people's pantries, you know, ground spices with labels clearly looking like they were from the 80s, long time ago, whereas really ground spices, again, if you don't know the difference, okay, but officially ground spices, the ground spices have a very short shelf life.
Right, so then you couldn't grind wheat, though.
Correct, absolutely, 100%. Aval hamalachas, so there's also a din that you're not allowed to use a grinder that's used for large-scale grinding on Yontif. So if you have like a mill, but if you use like a large-scale mill that's used for grinding spices, you know, for storage, and that would not be allowed just because it's vachadik. It's a, like a weekday type of activity.
So your standard pepper mill that you have on the table.
There's a difference of opinion about that, but especially if you do a bishinoi, then there's more heterim. Also, that even if the spice sort of doesn't lose much flavor if you grind it the day before, then if you do it on yontif, then you should do it bishinoi ideally. That if you do something, there's a food that you want now that really you could have done yesterday, and it wouldn't have lost any flavor, then you're allowed to do it on Yontif with a shinui. That's why some people say that when you grind horseradish for the Seder on a grater, then you have to use a shinui. Because really, horseradish is still okay if it's grated the day before. And you have to use a shinui, which would be either you turn the grater upside down, or you grate straight onto the table instead of onto a plate. There has to be
some. Use your non-downward hand.
No, that doesn't actually count. It has to be that the malacha looks different. And this is just, you know, midaraisa, it's still mutter because it's required for the eating purposes on Yontif. But the Chachamim imposed a restriction, in other words, to maintain some sort of consciousness that this activity really should be done before, which is a requirement to do a bishinoi if you neglected to do it before and you procrastinated and did it on Yontif.
How can you do it upside down?
The Vilna Gaon says that you're allowed to grate horseradish on Pesach, on the Yontif of Pesach, without a shinoi.
Because
the Vilna Gaon holds that, exactly, that if you, that the, in order to be Yotzei for Maror, that the horseradish has to be really hot. So if you grate it, and if the Seder falls on Shabbos, then you have to grate as soon as possible close to Shabbos, and you put it in a sealed container until the Seder. Okay.
Before Rafi Baker Matzah.
Well, Vilna Gaon didn't hold from this, it would be after you bake the matzah. The matzah could be done after Mincha Gedolah. Not that you should be led astray to think that horseradish is really marr, but in the olden days there are people who thought that horseradish was marr. Okay. Aval amalacho she'efsel ha'sosa me'erev yontif ve'enon mekablos b'zeh shum hefsed. If there's no difference whatsoever if you do the malacha before yontif, on a full scale. In other words, cooking, there are some times where it won't lose its taste if you cook it before Yontif. So in a pinch, you are allowed to do it on Yontif, even if you could have done it before. But here, these types of malachos are categorically the types of things that are done for many days and then stored. That they're not done ever, just for that day on a daily basis. I wouldn't say ever, but very, very rarely. Kigon Ktsira, harvesting. Disha, threshing. Brira, sorting. There are types of sorting that's mutar on Yontif, even though it's asur on Shabbos, because it's part of the food preparation for the day. But, you know, like sorting beans, you know, well in advance before you put them in storage, and that would be asur on Yontif.
Sorting beans?
Beans, for example. Something that you sort in large quantities in advance, not something...
What do you mean by sorting beans?
Oh, picking out the bad ones.
Yeah. Sometimes, in the olden days, there used to be bugs in beans. That's one of the classic things that are... it says in the literature that you have to... Well, and stones. Yeah, sorry.
Stones, yeah. Even today, the thing on the package of Goya lentils tells you to check for stones, just in case.
Okay. They say bugs in America and beans are not such a problem. That's what they tie now. They're centrifuge. So there's some way of doing it that gets rid of the bugs. In Eretz Yisrael, so there are a lot of people check. People are makbid on it. Check their beans for insects before usage, which we don't really do in America. We just do a cursory inspection, rinse them off, and then we use them. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to here, you have vacuum-packed, pre-checked beans, which are like beans. In America, going from America, I was like, beans? You have to check beans? Nobody in America checks beans for insects. But in Eretz Yisrael, you buy the vacuum-packed ones. It makes things easier. Okay. Rikida, sifting. And this doesn't apply to sifting that's done right before you bake a cake to make the flour fluffier. That would not be that could be done on Yontif, but the large scale sifting that makes the flour good for storage and usage later would not be allowed on Yontif.
How about sifting to see whether there are any bugs?
So the flour is basically already sifted, and you have the practice that in order to avoid any potential possibility of bugs, you sift all flour right before use, then you would be allowed to do that on Yontif. V'chayotzi bahen, asur la'asosan b'yontif, v'einam b'chal tzorchi ochal nefesh klal. This is not part of ochal nefesh. V'lokin aleihem kimo b'charisha b'sodeh. You get malchus on this just like plowing the field. Shehi meleches avoda b'emes, which is a quintessential type of labor. So according to this, if you have an apple on a tree, safe rechinach, and you pluck the apple off the tree, even if it's to eat right away, that's ktsira. That's not a normal activity that's done on a daily basis. Normally you harvest all the apples and then you keep them for a few days. There's no difference whatsoever between a freshly picked apple and one that was picked 3 days ago. So if you pluck an apple off the tree, even if it's for immediate consumption on Yontif, according to the Sefer Chinuch, echoing the opinion of the Ramban and other Rishonim, that is an Isser Deoraisa, and you receive the penalty of Malkus. Yeah.
Now, in other words, the critical distinction between doing a certain act, which would be permitted and not permitted on Yontif, would be whether or not it's something which is normally done in the course of cooking, like for example,
Milishav Eilach,
like straining soup or something like that. You know, that's perfectly fine, right? Yeah.
Or pasta, if you bake pasta on Yontif, so you're allowed to strain it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like something which you do.
There are some issues with using specialized instruments because that looks like again like a weekday activity. But to like use the lid of the pot to strain the pasta is not a problem. Okay, but this opinion of the Chinuch, which quoting the Ramban, is not shared by all the Rishonim. The Rambam, for example, holds that these types of activities are only midrabanan. That on a deraisa level, you're allowed to do anything related to food preparation on Yontif. So midaraisa, you'd be allowed to sift flour, you'd be allowed to to chop the wheat out of the field and then thresh it, and then all these things midaraisa are allowed, and it's only midaraban and it's asur. So that's why, according to the Rambam, you would not receive, obviously, the penalty of Malkos. This is one of the major sugyas in the Rishonim regarding Hilchos Yontif, as to whether the rule that we have, the shorthand rule for the things that are allowed in Yontif, is the procedures from Elisha Veilach, from kneading onwards. The procedures of making bread before kneading are not allowed. Again, it's not an absolute rule, and there's certain situations where you're allowed to sift, but whether that general rule that it's permitted only from kneading onwards is whether that's rule is deraisa or whether it is derabanan. Ve'od be'aru ha'mefarshim achroinim. the later commentator said, "Inyan zev amru kein." They said as follows: "The lo shari kra tzorach ochol nefesh elema shenase leyomo." It only applies to things that are done on a daily basis. Klomer lizman muat for a short amount of time. Kemo bishul vafia v'chayotze bazeh. It's something that people have in mind to do it for a short amount of time. What about capturing animals? Seemingly there shouldn't be any problem with capturing animals per se, because if you want to eat a deer, for example, so you should be able to, you'd be allowed to capture it on Yantif because you want to eat it. That's something, so by its nature, trapping animals is not a guarantee. So if the way trapping worked is you went into the field, you said, "Hey deer, come now," and you could get a deer whenever you wanted, then that would be okay. But the way that trapping works is you're not sure it's going to happen. With Anyantev, you have to be things that are part of a set process, a recognized known quantity process of preparing foods.